Second epistle, 2 John. We'll be reading verses 1 through 6. 2 John's easy to find. It's between 1st and 3rd John. Hear now the inspired word of God. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. For the sake of the truth which abides in us will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received the commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Let's pray. Well, Lord God, once again, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank and praise you for the power of your gospel. It is the power unto salvation. Lord God, we thank you for how you've revealed yourself to us and how you've called us to faith and obedience and love of you, to walk in your ways, to know you more and more, to trust you more and more, to love you more and more, to worship you more and more. Oh, Lord God, we thank you and praise you how you both have commanded us and have compelled us by your word to worship you and serve you and love you and obey you. Oh, Lord God, once again, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave us the understanding of your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who applied your word to our hearts and lives by dying on the cross and rising again. And, oh, Lord God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who reminds us and who comforts us and who counsels us from the truth of your word and how your word was so clearly explained by your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, it's our prayer this morning that once again, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power and the leading of your Holy Spirit, you would continue, Lord God, to apply your word to our hearts and minds and lives, that you would bless, Lord God, your word. Bless your word in each and every heart here today. To the unbeliever, that they would believe. To the believer, that they would continue to believe. And that we would all, Lord God, obey your commandments, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to thank you and praise you and worship you and serve you and glorify you all in accordance to your word, and to love one another, once again, in accordance to your word. Oh, Lord God, once again, strengthen us and enable us and lead us to do that by the power and work of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Oh, Lord God, please give me understanding and utterance. Oh, Lord God, may it be your truth that's revealed here today, and nothing of my own selfish wisdom. O Lord God, may you be magnified and glorified. I ask this all in your Son's precious name. We all ask this all in your Son's precious name. Amen. Please be seated. We've all heard the great philosophical question, what is truth? My students from Grace Christian Academy last year had the opportunity to once again consider that great philosophical question, what is truth? They were invited to sit on a homicide trial over the Nassau County Criminal Courts. And they saw the opening statements being presented to a jury as to whether a young man was guilty of homicide or not. And when they heard the prosecutor's opening statement laying out his case and how he was going to prove this young man guilty of homicide, I think everyone was sitting there going, oh, wow, this guy's guilty. But then the defense attorney got up. The defense attorney got up and explained the evidence from his perspective. And all my students, and myself included, for that matter, and also Pastor Jensen, who's a former homicide detective, we were all sitting there going, yeah, wait a minute. Is this guy really guilty of a homicide? what is truth? And once again, we can see that we all experience life from different perspectives, different experiences, different levels of knowledge and intellect. We can all come up with our perception of what the truth is. So therefore, we can come up with all sorts of explanations and definitions for what is truth. Once again, if we're saying that it is man who is the definer of truth, if we're saying that it's man based on his experience and based on his knowledge and based on his perspective what's truth, then yes, truth is subjective. Truth is open to all sorts of different definitions and all different conclusions. That's as we say, man is the definer of truth. The scriptures tell us something quite different. The scriptures tell us something much more bold. In fact, the church has been persecuted for it for thousands of years because such a bold claim has been made. The church has faithfully and consistently confessed and taught and discipled that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. That it is God Almighty who is the ultimate definer of truth. It is God Almighty and how He's revealed Himself in His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ, that is the definition of truth. Yes, man experiences life from his various perspectives and his various experiences. But God Almighty, who is eternal, who is the creator of all life, and who sees all of life from His eternal holy perspective, it is only He who can say what is truth and define what is truth and what is real and what it should be lived by and what should be lived by. The Christian church, as we said, the only way we can know what truth is for us to know who God is. And God in His grace, God in His love, made that truth known to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, to the glory of His name. God hasn't hidden the truth from us. God has made the truth known to us. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Romans. He sadly describes how man has always known the truth. Man knows in his heart of hearts what the truth is. He knows there's a God. He knows there's a God who's created all things. He knows there's a God who's purposed and willed his life. A woman on the train to work this past week was saying that. She'd just come through. She's from a Jewish background. She said, I still observed Yom Kippur. Every once in a while, I feel religious. She does not regularly go or attend the synagogue on a regular basis. But on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, she, like many other Jewish people, goes. Same because I know deep down, this is her words, not mine. I don't know who He is. I don't know what He is. But I know there's something up there. All people know in their heart of hearts that there's a God. And what does the Apostle Paul tell us? That even though man knows that and knows that truth, he suppresses the truth. Not only does he suppress the truth and put it down and ignore it and walk away from it, But he goes a step further and exchanges that truth for a lie. He serves the created rather than the creator. He relies on his own wisdom, and his own strength, and his own experience, and his own knowledge, and his own perception of things, rather than trusting in how God has so revealed himself in his word. And particularly now in these days and ages, through his son Jesus Christ. And the result of that is that he neither gives thanks to God nor glorifies God. He suppresses the truth. And as we've just been discussing, he tried to redefine the truth and make himself as the ultimate author and authenticator of truth. John writes this epistle, and he commends this lady, we'll get into that in a second, and some of her children, commends them for walking in the truth. Many times we as pastors, we love to preach from the epistles and love to preach from the New Testament. We love to preach all these passages where God's correcting his church. Don't do that, Christian. You're a good Christian. You're going to do this. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's bad. We can spend hours looking at all the biblical text of how Christ has to correct his church and say, hey, don't do this and don't do that. Do this instead. I don't know if we spend enough time in those passages of Scripture where Christ actually commends his church, blesses his church, compliments his church, says, hey, you're doing a good thing. I commend you because you're walking in truth. John takes this wonderful opportunity to write to the early church, the early first century church, and commend them for walking in truth. Talk about what's truth. That's been a question for Christians. When John writes this letter, and once again, the elder refers to him, the elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Is he referring to a specific woman? And referring to her specific children? Is he talking to a Dorcas Smith and to a Naomi and Bethany and Aaron and Mariah? Is he speaking specifically to a specific mother and her children? Maybe. There are those, too, who would suggest that, no, he's actually speaking symbolically here. That this elect lady, this chosen lady and her children, is the bride of Christ. The church is referred to in the feminine sense as being Christ's bride, his lady. And Christ is simply, through the Apostle John, speaking to the church here, the entire church and the church and all its children. Could be too. What is truth? John doesn't spell it out for us. Does it matter, though? Does it matter if he's speaking to a specific person or into her specific children? Does it matter that he's speaking to the entire church body and to the offspring of that church throughout the generations? It doesn't matter. I'm just pointing out, yes, even Christians sometimes don't know all the factual data and truth in the church, in the Scriptures. But does that alter the truth of the Scriptures? Does that alter the message? Because even if John was writing to a specific woman and to her specific children, it was meant for the entire church. We're all to take to heart what he is commending these people for in their day and their age, and we're to take that to heart today. And we should take to heart that Christ, through the Apostle John right here, is actually commending this woman, this church, these believers in Christ for walking in truth. It wasn't that John was running out of words that he keeps referring to truth. Whom I love in the truth, and not only, but all those who know the truth, for the sake of the truth, which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy will be with us from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ and the Son the Father, in truth and in love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we received the commandment to do from the Father. Truth, 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 truth. Was he running out of words? No. He's having us be focused on, and he's emphasizing to us, the importance of truth. And what is truth? He wants us to understand our lives are about truth. Our ministry is about truth. Our past, our present, our future is about truth. And John, unabashedly, unashamedly, is saying, you guys have the truth. And you guys are not only have the truth and know the truth, but you're living by the truth. Now, in one sense, we're at a great advantage. We can understand what John means by the truth because we have his first epistle. We have his third epistle. We have the revelation given to him by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the gospel that he wrote. When you look at John's gospel, when you look at his first, second, and third epistle, when you look at the book of Revelation as given to him, when you look at all of his writings in the New Testament, he throughout all those writings is reminding us that Jesus Christ is the truth. And makes it abundantly clear to us that Jesus Christ is the truth. That theme is throughout Scripture. Throughout all of his writings, he makes it very clear that Jesus Christ himself is the embodiment of truth, is the teacher of truth. Everything he did was truthful. And if we are in Christ, we are in Christ, we are in his truth. And if we're living for Christ, we're living in truth. But he also explains it to us here in the text itself. Not only I, but also those who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. He's defining the word truth in light of who God is, in the Father and the Son. And how the Father and the Son have made themselves known to us. Even in this very text, he's telling us what the truth is. And he's also making it very clear to us in this text and in all his other writings. Truth is not just a question or a matter of factual data. Truth is by how we live our lives. Truth is about what our lives are. Truth is about who we are and how we think and how we function. It's the very essence of our being. It is about how God has so revealed himself to us and how he expects us to live. And how he's made that all so clear and so evident through his Son, Jesus Christ. When we look at factual information, when we look to how should we perceive and understand our experiences in life, we should all be holding it up to the glory of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's accomplished for us. Who God the Father is and who he is and what he's accomplished for us. We're to understand every aspect of our lives. We're to understand every experience in our lives in light of who God is and how He's revealed Himself to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what truth is. That's what you can trust in. That's what you can know. That's what you can live your life by. Who Jesus Christ is. So John tells this early church, you know the truth. You're walking in the truth. And I commend you for it. Once again, it's not about how we perceive the world. It's not what we learn and know from the world. It's about what Jesus Christ has taught us about the world. His creation, His purposes, His will. That's what truth is. And John is commending these precious brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, you're walking in that truth. You're walking in Jesus Christ. And once again, the word walk here, as we know from many other instances in scriptures, it's one of those catch-all words that describes about how we live our life. He's not just talking about physical walking, putting one foot in front of another. No, he's talking about how you live your life, how you conduct your life, how you travel through this world and its life and its experiences. Your walk. How you live and think and function day to day. Your walk. He's saying to these early Christians, you're walking in truth. You're living and thinking and functioning and serving and living each day based on who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done for you. What a wonderful commendation. We always think of commendations coming for someone doing something heroic or extraordinary, above and beyond the call of duty, as many military commendations would say. Here he's talking to everyday Christians in an everyday world and saying, look how heroic you are. You're walking in truth. I'm blessed by that. I'm touched by that. He says in verse 4, I was so very glad to find some of your children walking in truth. Oh, what a blessing that is to me. So once again, we see that truth is not just some mere intellectual, philosophical concept. No, it's a way of life. It's a practice. It's how we should live out our day-to-day lives. It's how we should perceive our life, and it's how we should live out our life. Once again, with the full knowledge that Jesus Christ is the truth. We know, doctrinally speaking, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came into this world proclaiming the truth. Do you think that you live in a day and age today where there's just so much confusion and so many people telling us what the truth is? Who are we to believe about the economy? Was Mitt Romney telling us the truth? Or was Barack Obama telling us the truth last Wednesday night? What's the truth? Has it only been recent years that we've been confused about what truth is? When Jesus Christ came into this world and walked on this earth, there was great confusion and great questioning of what the truth was. Understand the historical context in which Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Understand who he was talking to. Understand the dilemma his disciples had been going through. Because they lived in this world where there was a lot of people telling them what the truth was. They had zealots. They had scribes. They had Pharisees. They had Sadducees. They had Jewish religious leaders, Jewish political leaders. They even had Romans. They even had Greek philosophers. They had all these people telling them what the truth was. Once again, even amongst the people of Israel, God's people who had been blessed with the word of God, were divided about what the truth is. Why are we told in the scriptures that there were the Sadducees and that there were the Pharisees? It's to remind us that there was a lot of debate going on in Israel as to what the truth was. You had the Sadducees saying, hey, God's word only pertains to what Moses wrote. The prophets? That's man-made stuff. Only what we heard from Moses, that we're pretty sure is the word of God. But you can't trust what all those prophets were saying. Resurrection from the dead? No. People don't rise from the dead. We don't know what happens. A judgment day? Nah, who knows? Is God really going to judge us? Come on. The Pharisee? Moses? The prophets? The Psalms? It is all the holy, inspired word of God. And there is a resurrection from the dead. And there is coming a judgment day where God will judge man for his sinfulness, as told us by Moses and the prophets. This is the environment Jesus' disciples had grown up in, being told by different people, oh, this is what truth is. And it's Jesus who boldly comes out and says, you have heard it taught. In other words, you've heard from these Sadducees, and you've heard from these Pharisees, and you've heard from all these rabbinical schools, and you've heard from all these philosophers. You've heard all these things. But now let me tell you what the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord. This is what the word of God is. This is how you have so corrupted the word of God. You people who are entrusted with the word of God and have now so corrupted the word of God. Let me set you straight. Let me tell you what the truth is. This is what God is saying. And how the people feared and trembled because they never heard a person speak with such authority. Why did Christ speak with such authority? Because he was the authority. He was the way, the truth, and the life. He was eternal, almighty God. He perfectly understood that Moses and the prophets were all the inspired word of God and how God had revealed himself to the nation of Israel. And he knew fairly well what he meant, what it meant, because he wrote it! It's in this context, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. This is what you can live your life by. This is what you can know. It's not up to you and your human perspective and your human experiences and your human knowledge and your human perceptions and understandings and thoughts. This is who God is, and this is what God has said. This is what God has said in his word. God sent me into this world to save you from your sins. God sent me into this world to die on the cross for you. God sent me into this world to rise from the dead. God sent me into this world because one day I am going to judge the living and the dead. Sadducees, Pharisees, that's what Moses taught. Pharisees, that's what Moses and the prophets taught. I'm coming into this world to save men of their sins. By my death, by my resurrection. And there is an eternal resurrection. Hey, Pharisees, guess what? You got that right. There is a resurrection from the dead. God will judge the living and the dead. And guess who's that? Guess who's going to do that? Me. I'm God Almighty. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now live your lives so accordingly. woman at the well? You're questioning about worshiping in spirit and in truth? There are those who say, hey, go on this mountain worship, and those who say, go on this mountain worship. Here's the truth. There's coming a day when you're going to worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm the living water. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to worship me. Why did Christ speak with such authority? Because he was the authority. Not only did Christ speak with authority, and not only did he have the authority to declare what the truth is, he authenticated what the truth was. God had always spoken through the prophets and said to Moses and said to the prophets, if they don't believe you, well, then perform this miracle. Then they'll know that I've sent you. It's no different. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you can take me at my word. You can know that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, because I'm also the resurrection and the life. I'm going to rise again. I'm not going to show you any further signs, except for one last sign. After you've crucified me and buried me, I'm going to rise again in 3 days. I'm the resurrection and the life. And that's how you're going to know that everything I've been saying and teaching is the truth. And if that's the truth, you need to live your life by it. You need to live your life by me. Jesus Christ arose. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And because of who he is and what he's done, we should so walk in that truth. We should all know and live out Jesus Christ. We should obey his commandments. We should live according to his word. We should live according to his love. We should love God. We should love one another. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the truth. This is something you can trust in and live your life by. It doesn't matter what Barack Obama tells you. It doesn't matter what Mitt Romney tells you. What matters is, what's Jesus Christ telling you? How's he telling you to live your life? Do we take to heart what we've been studying in the book of Revelation? Do we take to heart? Christ is risen. Christ reigns. Christ is eternal. Now we'll be spending eternity with him, thanking him and praising him, worshiping him in spirit and in what? And in truth. Does that truth so change our perspective on life? Does that truth so change our experiences and how we perceive our experiences? And how we endure our experiences. Do we walk in truth? Do we walk in Jesus Christ in light of who he is and what he's done and what he will do? Do we live in light of his commandments? Do we live in light of his love? Do we seek to glorify him and make him known in all that we say, think, and do? Do we show one another? Do we show the world around us Jesus Christ and his truth? John commended this church, said, you guys are doing that. It's my prayer. It's my encouragement. It's my exhortation to continue walking in truth. If it pleased the Apostle John to stop and think how much that pleases our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be walking in Him. May we do that. May Christ truly be, as we sang this morning, our all in all. May all that we say, think, and do be the truth of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord God in heaven, once again, we thank and praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And, O Lord God, we thank and praise you how you've called us to walk in that truth, to walk in Jesus Christ, to walk in his knowledge, his commandments, his love. O Lord God, Lord Jesus, be our all in all. May we continue, Lord God, to walk in truth, knowing you, Lord Jesus, trusting you, Lord Jesus, living for you, Lord Jesus. O Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, through your word, continue, Lord God, to sanctify us by your truth. And may we live accordance to that truth. Whatever we say, think, or do, may we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord God, may every person here today know the truth of Jesus Christ. Speak to each and every heart here today. Once again, may the non-believer believe in Jesus Christ and his truth. May the believer be uplifted and encouraged in the truth and continue to walk in truth. Once again, Lord God, all by the power of your Holy Spirit, all by the truth of your word, all to the glory of your name and your Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, we ask all this. We ask, O Lord God, that we would all go now in your grace and your peace, continuing to walk in truth. We ask you, Lord God, that you will now strengthen us and lead us and bless us and go in your peace. We ask this all in your Son's precious name. Amen.